Good evening, dear listeners. Welcome to Business and Economic segment with me, David Shombe. Welcome to Business and Economic Platform. This is a platform that we discuss local, regional, and international economic issues. We look at development in terms of infrastructure. We look at development in terms of economy, in terms of GDP. And most importantly, we look at development in terms of human development. That's why we're always saying, when you look at the context of this conversation, this is your favorite program that is starting always from 1800 hours to 1900 hours. We do this discussion to make sure that whatever we do, we open those innovative thinking. We make sure that, open that mind in order to make sure that at least the Namibia that you want, we realize it. So we enter those, hard talk, conversation that people are not willing to enter respectfully, and also look at what we are lacking as a country, the skills that we have, and also what we can do moving forward. Yeah, that's why we are always making sure that after every deep conversation that we bring about, we always make sure that, we encourage our listeners, we encourage viewers to give their constructive criticism, to make sure that they give their questions. They also contribute to the conversation, and also make sure that, this conversation is not only one-sided, but it's a conversation which is, multifaceted, and also a conversation which accommodate various views and also various perspectives, so that at the end of the day, we build the Namibia that we want. So apart from us being facilitator of the program, we also indicate that, we believe that, for you to build institutions, for you to build the country, you don't necessarily need people who agree on one thing. But, you need, those constructive criticism. You need divergent views sometimes for you to have development. Because for you to have an innovation, there is what we call co-creations of, knowledge and thinking. So scholars, thinkers, and researchers, they sit in one table. They debate about issues. They propose various programs and also various mechanisms on how to go about models of development. Because if I have to take you back to look at theories of economics, for example, when you look at the theories of economics, we have different school of thoughts. Liberalism economy. You also have economy which is based on Marxism ideas. And we also have those who are at the center, not capitalist, Marxist, but at the center trying to balance things. That's why we are saying this is your program. This is a program that you have to, to air your opinion. It's a program that is welcome to everybody. And, we are always saying as long as Namibia is not at the standard where it was supposed to be, we continue doing this conversation, we continue bring about these hard talks, and at least this conversation that we bring about will bring about real changes. This conversation that we bring about will take out, our young people from deepness of poverty that they are living in, from the deepness of the challenges that they are living in. We know that Namibia consists of 70% of Namibian population is under the age of 30, which means that the population is young, the population is youthful, and it's non-negotiable for every conversation, every policy to be inclusive, and also for every policy to make sure that there are youth-directed, policies, and also policies which are not only generalized, but policies which look at how we can advance the life of young people. So before we go to the conversation for today, just to give you context, Namibia is faced by various challenges. We are always speaking about this to give you a broader context, to say statistics are not on the good side of us. Statistics are not on the good side of us. We lead in many unpleasant things. We are trading for not two good reasons. One of them is unemployment, the rate highest in SADC region. The other thing is also the weakness of our financial stability, where we are gray listed by Financial Action Task Force. We are a high-risk jurisdiction. European Union classified us that way. And also World Bank is also indicating that we are reclassified. We moved backward from upper middle income country to lower middle income country based on our inability to drive priority areas. And not only that, when you look at the global risk report, you will be able to realize to say Namibia, we are continued to suffer and also to face unpleasant challenges such as food insecurity, inequality, and also many other things that affect national development. Yeah, that's why we are saying the conversation is broader. The conversation is broader. That's why we are always, you know, bring about various topics to see what can we do about this conversation. Because remember the other time we were talking about SOEs, we talk about corporate politics, we are talking about the dysfunctionality of our SOEs, and also what can we do to make sure that we, you know, we harmonize the relationship between the ministry responsible, the board of directors, the chief executive officers, and other stakeholders, and to limit or prevent these unnecessary and also chaotic activities which happen within Namibia SOEs. You look at issues which happen at, for example, NIDA. You look at Namibia Financial Assistance Fund. You look at, not to mention NIPAM. You look at NAMCO. You look at, you know, it's a corporate fight where corporate executives, politicians, and those who are responsible to oversee the work of management end up in, you know, in this corporate fight, which waste a lot of resources, and it becomes so unproductive, particularly to SOEs, which are profit driven, unlike regulators, which are not really, regulators. You cannot really measure regulator based on the outcome of profit, but the outcome of their work. So, before we go to the conversation for today, it's always very important to look at what do we offer, what is on the table. We are always advising our listeners and followers to make sure that, you know, follow us in our social media platform, follow us on Facebook, follow us on X, follow us on Instagram, and also follow us on LinkedIn, because that is the only way that you'll be able to be, you know, up to date with local, regional, and international news and updates, which are based on, you know, bread and butter issue. That is your economic development. That is social development. That is economic statistics. That is international relations. That is issues of trade, and also issues of youth development. And on top of that, we also have an e-paper that is, of course, the Villager newspaper. The Villager newspaper is an e-paper that you can access to. It's an e-paper that you can access to by subscribing or liking the page of the Villager newspaper. And also make sure that, you know, subscribe to the Villager newspaper so that this newspaper will be sent to you every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. And if you are an individual who is concerned with national development or interested in economic matters, for you to make those long-term economic strategic decisions, you just need to make sure that, you know, you have economic insight. You have economic insight. You are able to get access to that that paper. And also, you can be a student of law, student of politics, student of economics, a researcher, and also a policymaker, or any interested party, particularly those economic movers. So when you have access to the Villager newspaper, that is your that will contribute to your economic game plan or your plans that you are doing. It will assist you, because when you have economic insight about what is trending in terms of the economy, where is Africa going, what is the content of Africa Continental Free Trade Agreement, for example, how many countries are involved into that, and what stage are we at now? Are we at the Pan-Africa payment system? Which countries are subscribing to that? So those are some of the things that, you need to know and understand. And also to see, when you look at, for example, Namibia Statistic Agency, where are we standing in terms of trade? What is the trade balance that we have for the months of May, for example? And what product is trading? Which one is going down? And where are we in terms of... economic growth, and how can we strategically align ourselves as business people, as policymakers, so that we can solve these problems that we are facing, the problems which existed for the past 35 years, the problems that have been spoken about, and also problems that, everybody wish to deal with. So, dear listeners, on top of that, we also have... We have Eagle FM app. There are always those who are asking a lot of good and understandable questions to say, Eagle FM, where are you? We are not able to get connected to you. We are not able to reach you. And it seems like the frequency is not reaching us. Dear listeners, we are always indicating to you to say, the world is moving toward digitalization. The world is moving toward advancement in terms of technology. And we are in the fourth industrial revolution, the world of machine learning, the world of AI, and many other changes which are happening. So for you to be a good citizen, for you to be somebody who does not live in the past, do not worry about you not getting frequency. We have a better way. We have an app. It's a very beautiful app that you can download. You can go to your Play Store, put in Eagle FM Namibia, download that app. When you download that app, you automatically be able to listen to the programs which are on air. And fortunately enough, in terms of you not being able to be there during the time that program was on air, you can also be able to go to the podcast. When you go to the podcast, you have access to the previous programs and shows. Then your life will be made more easier. And also, on top of that, you have your own data. You can listen at your own time and also at your own pace. So while we are there, we also have, before we go to the what we have on the table today, before we go to what is on the table for today, we also have we have Imba App. Imba App is a digital version of your hymn book. That is your Ehangano book. It's a digital version of your hymn book. And when you find yourself in a situation where you do not have a hymn book, you don't need to worry. You don't need to scratch your head. You don't need to scratch your head, because we got you. We got you in the sense that we bring that digital version of your hymn book in front of you on your screen, just by downloading Imba App, so that when you download Imba App, you'll be able now to access those hymn songs, either it's in Oshiwambo, in Ochierero, Maimburiro, in Afrikaans, in Isilozi, and many other local Namibian languages. So dear listeners, make your life easier, download Imba App, so that you will not be left behind when advancement is moving forward. So we are going to a commercial break. Then we look at what we have today on the table. What context are we going to look at? And how can we contribute to the national development of our country? Yes, today, what we have on the table, today we talk about... diplomacy, and we talk about what our politicians, our career diplomats, and also our foreign relation experts, our trade analysts, should look at in order for them to benefit from the Global South. And we understand that the world is divided in terms of economic development. The world has gone through a lot of transformation, particularly from 1945, where you have the First World and also what we call the Global South, the developing nations, where you have the likes of China, you have the likes of India, Brazil, South Africa, and also where African countries are also included, because when you look at the structure of the structure and the ranking of development in terms of economic development, you will be able to see that you have the first world countries, which are you know, first class and high income nations, such as the US. Sometimes it's called the Western world, where you have the US, you have the European nations, where human development is no more a problem, where people are no more focusing about what they are going to eat in the next 6 months. People are no more focusing about health issues. They are focusing about other issues like climate change, and they focus about the rights of, you know, animals, and you know, they are so advanced to that extent that they think about 100 years from now. But when you look at developing world, when you look at a continent like Africa, our thinking is mostly we are preoccupied with what are we going to eat next Friday, how is the economy going to be in the next 6 months, and also where are my kids going to school, how is my medical, you know, standard, or my medical, you know, aid. Is my medical aid enough? What is the next pandemic and how are we going to solve it? We still deal with issues of housing. But, you know, like we're always saying, the problems that we are facing at home. And when I'm talking about at home, I don't mean your house. I mean Namibia, the problems that we are facing at home, domestic problems. It has already been proven that they cannot be solved at home only, although they need to be solved by people who are at home. Yeah, because for the past 35 years, our country have tried its best, and what it is done well should also be praised, particularly in terms of literacy rate. More than 85% or beyond 87% of the Namibians within the understandable years from primary to adulthood, they are able to read and write. They are able also to comprehend various language, and also they have basic understanding of literacy, which is one of the requirements for development. That you can praise it. And we also need to look at institutions. Doing a comparison, a comparative analysis from what it was in 1990 and what it is now in 2025, you'll also be able to see that in terms of infrastructure development, you can look at the road, you can look at offices, you can look at, you know, construction of installations, networking, electrical installations. You see that we are somewhere. However, that should not limit us to think that compared to where the world is, compared to countries with capacity and also natural resources as we are still behind. Yeah, that's why we are saying today we are looking at what Namibia can get from the Global South, and how can we strategically use our diplomatic leverage to make sure that, you know, our country gets something from the Global South. We talk about countries like China and also India, because our context of diplomacy, although traditional diplomacy have been, you know, said to have gone away, we are still stuck in traditional diplomacy, where we are too careful to seek and ask what we really want, and rather than waiting for other people to push their agenda. Because I was talking to my friend yesterday to say, you know, Narendra Modi is the most powerful person in the world, in global politics, not only in India, in the world. The Prime Minister of India is the most powerful man. You can compare him with Trump and Putin. And and also Xi Jinping, because when you look at the population of India, which is being led by Narendra Modi, that is around 1.4 billion people, which is almost or equivalent to the population of Africa. Then you also be able to look at the technological advancement and strategic alliance which India has. You can talk about the BRICS, you can talk about trade, you can talk about tech, you can talk about, you know, in terms of medicine, where the country is. And then you also be able to see when an individual like Narendra Modi said, I'm not going to send my foreign minister to Namibia, I'm going to be there as part of my visit, and I'll come to Namibia. It means that he sees something, and it's a right opportunity for us Namibians. It's also a right opportunity for us Namibians to say, not only diplomacy in terms of sitting on the table and say it's a win-win situation, it's a true diplomacy, not in the face of media, but true diplomacy to that extent that you are a most powerful country, and we have trade relationship with you. We have some of the business people who are also here. But how can we intensify that? Because if you are leading a population which is equivalent to the African continent, and you looking at us, it's like you are looking at like a small village. Like you are looking at like a small village in India. And with our natural resources, help us to advance. Now, when we say help us to advance, it means that we need to define our priorities. What is our priorities? Because one thing that we see, especially us from the media or as an observer of how things are being done, we also be able to see that you know, sometimes when you go to international institution, then you see this engagement between people with power and also influence. You also be able to see that you know, sometimes people forget about priorities. Then they talk about history. They forget about priorities, talk about history. No, you guys will help us during the war. You guys will help us in 1990. What? You guys, our former president did this. Yes, it's good. But what is the way forward? What do we have for us on the table? And how can we assist you? Because if you just think properly and clearly, how many agreements we enter into, how many relationships do we have? I'm not saying all of them did not help us. What I'm trying to say is that could we have already achieved what we want in 2025, 10 years ago, looking at the relationships that we have with other countries, look at the development that they did. What is the problem with that? So that's why today we are saying, when you look at global diplomacy, the Global South could be our way to go. Global South could be our way to go because it's only people who are, in most cases, people who are almost at the same level as you are, or who went through the same journey as you are, you will be able also, they will also be able to assist you. Because if you look at the Global South, 80% of the country in the Global South were colonized. And also they suffer, you know, not really to say westernization, but they suffer because of Western Empire, like European Empire. Most of them were colonized. Most of them, they rebuild themselves. If you look at countries like China, if you look at a country like Korea, if you look at, you know, most of the countries, they rebuild themselves, even Singapore. Look at Africa. Africa is was a center of colonialism. Look at Brazil. But these are countries with resources. These are also countries with a high number of population that we can learn from. So ravaging our small state diplomacy, as scholars of international relations and thinkers says, ravaging our state small state diplomacy with bigger economy could be our way to go. Ask yourself this. If you just want to be a bit controversial, why do you think Namibia up to now did not sign, you know, to be part of Pan-African Payment System, which is part of, you know, expanding African continent a free trade area. Why do you think it's that? Up to now, we did not sign that. Look, had you signed that, you would be able to trade peacefully and easier with your neighbors. Because we are still contemplating to say, what is the Western are going to say? What is this country are going to say? But are we really negotiating on our side? Because that system is indicating to you, that system is indicating to you that when you are using Pan-African payment system to do trading, you are paying in local currency. Unlike when we are trading in South Africa, we are paying in US dollars and somebody has to benefit from that exchange. Why are we not yet there? And so, dear listeners, you are listening to Business and Economic Segment with me, David Shombe. Today we are looking at the leverage, the competitive advantage that Namibia can take, and also what can we gain from Global South, and how productive could it be if we lean a bit to the Global South as the world is going through transformation. So, let's go to a commercial break. Then from there, we'll see what we can do. You are listening to Business and Economic Segment with me, David Shombe. And yeah, today we are talking about global diplomacy. Today we are talking about global diplomacy. Today we are talking about global diplomacy, looking at the Global South. And when you are looking at the Global South, we are looking at what Namibia can do, particularly at this point in time, to make sure that, you know, to make sure that the country prioritizes, you know, its priorities, particularly when you are dealing with the Global South. Because when you look at countries like China, I've been talking about this to say, when you look at a country like China, China is a good example of how diplomacy is played to their advantage and also to improve their country. When you look at a country like China, China makes sure that, you know, they studied Africa. Make sure that they study Africa, they study the US, they study India. They have a plan for Africa, and they also have a plan for how to deal with the US. Now, when you're asking yourself as an individual to say, what plan do you have for China? What plan do you have for India? What plan do you have for Russia? Or you are just waiting from what they say. What plan do you have for these countries? So, that's why now we are being brought to this topic to say, when you talk about the Global South, when you talk about the Global South, particularly in this point in time, we see the shift in international relations, particularly when President Donald Trump got into power. We are seeing the shift in international relations. We are seeing the U.S. trying to, you know, to use their muscles to shake the world. And we also see countries realizing to say they are defining their own future. Country realizing to say enough is enough about international institutions. Enough is enough about you defending somebody who has a warrant of arrest by international criminal court and denouncing the other one who also have a warrant arrest by international criminal court. It's only that you are not on the same side. And we are seeing from last year, November, we were able to see the shift in terms of global economy. We were able to see the shift of in terms of global economy. Yeah, especially when matters of regional blocs is concerned, because we're able to see the expansion of BRICS having new members and also partners. We have seen countries like Ethiopia, country like Egypt. We see Iran, we see United Arab Emirates, we see a lot of countries trying to align themselves with BRICS because they realize to say, especially when you are using Western financial institution or when you are using financial institution in the West, they were a bit of not lenient to developing world. That's why BRICS become an alternative to to global development. However, that did not come with challenges. That did not come with challenges. That did not come with challenges. We have seen tariffs war. We have seen imposition of tariffs. Just for your own understanding, Brazil, they have 50% tariff on everything that they are exporting to the US, which is a very big disadvantage. Then you look at South Africa, where they are at 30%, which I spoke about to say, when South Africa is at 30% tariff in terms of exporting to United States, then you also be able to see that with our little economy, which is with our dollar pegged to South African rand, with more than 50% of our food coming from South Africa, with electricity coming from Eskom, and South Africa being our main trade partner, second to China, we are able to see that we really need to do something instead of standing still and not strategize going ahead, because the world is moving very fast, especially if you are not careful enough, particularly the global front. If you are not careful enough, you'll be left behind, because decisions change very fast. Alliances are changing very fast. That's why when I see Narendra Modi in Namibia, I was so shocked and surprised and also happy, because wherever he is, the world is watching. Wherever he is, the world is watching. He's one of the most humble person that you can ever meet, but one of the driver of strong economies in the world. And with him coming to Namibia, it means that this opportunity should not just be a talk opportunity. It shall be diplomacy which bear fruits which can be seen. Because one thing that we are not doing very well, and is for everybody to understand, because when you have development, when you have a national priority, for example, or when you have a national developmental plan, yes, there are things which are state secrets that you cannot share. That one we understand. But we have, when you have a national priority, or when you have a national developmental plan, that need to be implemented by a domestic plan and also a foreign policy plan. It means that individuals, ordinary people, should and must participate in evaluation of the implementation of that. Advanced countries, they have something like Institution of International Relations and Strategic Studies, where they evaluate their foreign policy. They evaluate the effectiveness and challenges that they are facing. That's why these countries, like Europe, for example, Iran is a good country to learn from. I don't understand their governance system, but in terms of how they do things, particularly at the global front, you'll be able to see that these are good countries to learn from. And these are countries which will not really let you, if you follow what they are doing, particularly when what they are doing with their development and also with their expansion of their influence, and also educating all their people, you'll be able to see that these are some of the countries that you need to learn from. So, dear listeners, you are listening to Business and Economic Segment with me, David Shombe. Today, we are looking at how Namibia can learn, or what Namibia can benefit, particularly from the global south, to advance our development. Yes, we are looking at economic development. We are looking at global development. And we are talking about how Namibia can leverage its position to gain advantage of the global south, and how we can expand our trade and also diversify our external relations strategy, particularly in comparison to what it is. And in this case, we were trying to see what are some of the countries in the global south that we can at least align more on, because we are not saying we should abandon the West, but we are saying countries which went through what they went through, countries which understand the pain of colonialism, and also countries which understand the pain of building from having nothing, building from having nothing to where they are now. I think it's a good lesson to learn from. And we can improve in that regard. That's why when you look at the bilateral trade between India and Namibia, you'll be able to see that it has improved between 2023 and 2024. India export amount of 453 million, and also not only million Namibian dollars, but in US, where you also be able to see. We are indicating that there is a recent growth in terms of trade between Namibia and India, where it was at $813 million between 2023 and 2024. That is what it is, and it's said that within that amount of money, you'll be able to see that India exporting amount to 453.38 million. So with these statistics, you can also be able to say that when a country like Nigeria made sure that Namibia they strengthen their bilateral relationship, it's a movement toward the global south. They realize to say, us in developing world, we can only develop ourselves. Yes, with the assistance of the West, but when you work with people who went through what you are going through, it's more easier. You can also relate, and you can also improve. That's why what we need to ask ourselves is that if you don't have a plan for other people, and you are also praying to say, these other people must also include me in their plan. They are only going to include you in their plan when they are getting something from you. And diplomacy is not about, I'm going to give this guy how much. It's about, how can I get advantage of this one, and how can we work together? Because if you are not clear enough, we'll see our resources just going like that, our oil just going like that, our green hydrogen just being taken like that, our minerals just being taken like that. It has already been happening. We have already seen these things with the fishing sector. We have seen this with the fishing sector. We have seen the impact this have to the ordinary Namibian. We have seen how it has been, particularly the ordinary Namibian, why foreign companies are making a lot of money. But the question that we need to ask ourselves is also to say, how can we leverage the friendships that we have with other countries without compromising our other friends in the West, but to make sure that we accelerate development? Because when you are looking at pronunciations of previous and current presidents, every problem you see, people want to declare these problems a state of emergency. You had COVID-19, yeah, it's an emergency, that one was variable. Your poverty is a state of emergency. Eradication of poverty was in the motion. Plans to eradicate poverty was there. Then you have drought itself, state of emergency. You have youth unemployment. People are saying it must be declared as a state of emergency. And you're asking yourself to say, pronunciation and declaration and extending of constitutional mandate, is it really going to help without practical implementation? And when we are sitting with these countries, are we really talking about the problems that we are going through? Are we open to our friends at the global south to say, guys, yes, give us food, but for how long are we going to give us food? Can't you teach me how you do it in your countries? Because my population is a bit small, and I'm like a village to you. And can you please advance me so that we can trade well with you? Because just for my people, my own people too. at least to bridge that gap in terms of economic inequality. Just like that. So, dear listeners, you are listening to Business and Economic Segment with me, David Shombe. We have around not more than 10 minutes before we come to the end of our conversation. Today, we are talking about the role of diplomacy in national development, and also what can we gain from the Global South? What can we gain from the Global South as a country? And also, how can we leverage that the friendship that we have with other countries? Just for us not to complicate it, just think about it this way. You have a lot of powerful and rich friends who have capacity to build fighter jets, capacity to build bullet trains, capacity to build electricity from nuclear, capacity to have smart irrigation, capacity to have high tech in the world, and also capacity to produce their own food. You have been with these friends for a very long time. You visit each other. But what are we learning from our friends? Then you don't really clarify it, because when we speak about our external interest not well explained, people think that we don't know what we are doing. Because when we think about, yes, you have a foreign policy, what are the objective of your foreign policy? But things change, interests shift. What was the last time that you evaluated the contribution of foreign policy into your country? Because when you have that answer, you can also be able to pinpoint which one is vulnerable, which relation is not vulnerable. Because some relationship, we must let them go. With respect, some relationship, we must let them go. Don't just keep relationship for the sake of relationship. Some relationship with other countries, we must let them go so that we can let other in who are beneficial to us, who we can also work together. Because if you just have a friend who you are not getting something from this person, although you have a good talking stage, it's not necessarily useful compared to the agent need that you have. Because keeping friends when you have something, it is better, but the situation that we have now, we cannot spend on what we do not want anymore. Because it's emergency. At all sectors, at every level. It's an emergency situation at all sector, at every level. So, dear listeners, you are listening to Business and Economic Segment with me, David Shombe. We are looking at the role of national diplomacy, or the role of diplomacy in national development. We look at what we need, what others have, how we can get what they have, and also give us or give them what they need. It's a give and take situation. We are not saying we must get things in a silver platter, but we are saying, when was the last time that we evaluated the effectiveness of our foreign policy? When was the last time that we evaluated the effectiveness of our foreign policy and what we mean and what we do with other countries? And when a prime minister like Narendra Modi come to Namibia, he has his own interest. And Namibia is just one of those small countries in the world that he visited. Don't think you are the only one. Then you have to speak up and define yourself very fast and on time and on point. Because they do not have time. They don't have time. So if you are very clear about what you want, I've seen some minister, they made a presentation about where they are going to work together with India, which is good. But let us do more. So dear listeners, we have around a few minutes before we come to the end of our conversation. And when we bring about this conversation, we are not attacking everybody. That's why we are saying, this business and economic segment is a conversation not only for one person, but it's a conversation for everybody. It's a conversation which seek to seek different opinions and views about how we see various matters, how we tackle various matters, and also how we can develop our country, because it cannot be correct to be where we are if we were supposed to be where we are not at right now. So it's always very important to make sure that as an individual business person, for example, as an individual citizen, as a parent, let us not be selfish and think only on ourselves, but let us think at a country level, even at a local level, just to see what can I do for my community, what advice can I give to this new councillor who is in power, because that is also necessary. What advice should I give to this new councillor who is in power? What advice should I give to these young people, particularly in terms of developmental projects? And what can we learn from the past? And what can we learn from our friends? Because they are saying if you are roaming around with five churches, you are the fifth, or you are the sixth one. And if you are around the five wise person, the possibility for you to be the sixth one is there. So that's why it's always not correct when we have friends, but we are not learning from them, which are doing well in their house. And let us not just declare every problem a state of emergency, but act upon them. And do less of the talking. Let us, the media, do the talking, and the implementer do the implementation, because works don't explain themselves. There's always evidence. Somebody who works don't need to speak a lot to say, I'm going to do what. There's a lot of I'm going to do, then I did. So, dear listeners, thank you very much for listening to Business and Economic segment. Thank you for your time. Thank you for your patience. And also thank you for your contribution to this conversation. And we are always advising you to say, connect with us in our social media platform, connect with us on Facebook, connect with us on X, connect with us on Instagram, connect with us on LinkedIn. Like our page, EGLFM Namibia. If you are a researcher, a student of economics, development, an ordinary citizen who is interested in business and entrepreneurship, make sure that you like and share our page. When you do that, you bought your ticket to your mind expansion. You bought your ticket to, you know, expanding your knowledge, and also to expand your research capacity, so that you can make those long-term strategic economic decisions, investment decisions that will assist you in personal and also at a professional level. So from me, David Shombe, bye-bye for now. See you the next day, same time and same place.